Welcome back to the Finger Guns Podcast, episode 246. Can you believe I've been allowed back on hosting duties? It's of course me, Josh, filling in for Ross because schedules be scheduling and the powers that be haven't even stopped to consider that we have a moral obligation to bring you guys the best video games podcast every week. Joining me today, we have Kat.
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm all right, thanks, mate. Thanks for hosting.
It's all right. It's a role I've been born to play when Ross isn't here.
Well, we'll see about that. Maybe we can do a head-on war. Next time I'm back, baby.
I'm not fighting you. I'm not fighting you. I don't hate it. I get the pre-pod nerves when
You get the
hosting
anxious.
every other
You
week.
get that.
Yeah, I'm like, oh God, I'm going to sound like an idiot. And I sound like an idiot every week, and it doesn't really matter, but stakes are high when you're a host.
They are, but you do such a good job of it, mate. This is, just to think about this, right? It's only me, you, and Miles on tonight. It's basically us, as we are, every single night,
I know.
Ever.
We've got to pretend that I've not just spent a lot of the weekend talking to you guys and playing video games separately and together, but... You know, that's showbiz, isn't it? We gotta fake it till
the
we make it.
The show must go on. The show must go on, babes.
Exactly. And whilst we're on the topic of being a unit, Miles.
I am an absolute unit. Welcome back to the King's Chair, sir.
Thank you. I'm like rubbing my ass into the chair. I mean, this is a proverbial chair because it's not real. I'm not sitting on Ross's chair right now.
You're just laying down the groundwork.
Yeah, I'm changing the creases in the seat right now as we speak.
Yeah, you're shifting the
How are you doing?
To suit you more. I'm good, thank you, mate. Yeah, it's been good eatings video game wise recently, and it's been an all right week. Thank you. How are you, mate?
Yeah, tell me about it. Yeah, I'm good. Cheers. Yeah, like you said, we have been feasting this week and beyond, and now we can actually talk about the stuff, which brings us onto our game of the week, I guess. We might as well jump straight into it. Tell us, Miles, we've been champing at the bit at what your game of the week has been for the last couple of weeks. What is it?
Oh, we really have, because Dragon's Dogma 2 has been out. Well, I've had it in my hands for a little bit now, and I desperately wanted to talk about it last week, but I wasn't allowed to. And it's fucking wonderful. Like, it's been 12 years since the original Dragon's Dogma, and it was one of those games where, like, I threw myself into on a whim, and then it took up an entire summer of my life, and I was like, okay, cool, this just happened. And when they announced the second one, I almost didn't believe it at first. And now it's actually here. It's real. And it's Dragon's Dogma 1. That's a bit shinier, a bit nicer, and a bit spruced up. And it's everything you would want in a sequel in that it plays exactly like you would want it to. But everything is seamless. There's no loading screens anywhere. The open world is really dense and full of things to do. It's not the biggest map you'll ever stumble across. But I think what Capcom have aimed for is to make it like an enjoyable game where you can venture out at any time. And as a little anecdote, I went on a side quest. Kat laughed at me for this. I ventured out of the city, all prepared, gunned up, ready to finish this quest. And 3 hours later, I'd cleared out a bunch of caves, killed a shit ton of goblins, fought like a griffin or something. And I ended up on the other side of the region to where my quest was. And I was like, huh, this doesn't happen very often in a video game for me. It's just got this really like immersive appeal to it where you just get lost within the world doing quests. It's not very hand-holdy, so if this is your first time getting into like a Dragon's Dogma game, it's not going to do you many favors at first. The first few hours are pretty rough, but I really implore you to kind of stick with it, because after the first kind of 5 hours or so, you'll start to kind of click with it and it'll make sense. It's things like there's not like a lot of fast travel options. It's very limited by design. You can fail quests or just miss them altogether if you don't pay attention or engage with NPCs. And like the pawn system is really cool. So the idea is that you'll slowly kind of discover how pawns work just through playing and kind of integrating with them. But you basically acquire, you know, a couple of basically like NPCs that will be part of your party. You download them from other people. And if they've, say, completed a quest that you're doing, they can give you advice or they can guide you to the location of where the resolution is, which is super handy given that map markers aren't really as much of a thing on this. And all sorts of things. So the way they've integrated it is really cool. But yeah, the whole game is pretty spectacular. And I think I said it the other day, but somehow we've already had probably my two Game of the Year contenders out already this year, in Final Fantasy VII Rebirth and Dragon's Dogma 2. And they're both kind of JRPG in style, but with very different philosophies. One's very accessible, easy to play, drop in and out, that kind of thing. And Dragon's Dogma 2 is completely the opposite, where it's, you buckle in for an experience every time you play it. But yeah, my full review's up on the site. Absolutely adore this game. I brought a griffin crashing down to land from like 100 meters up in the air and killed myself in the process of doing it. But goddamn, is it spectacular! And I feel like that's just what this game nails so perfectly. So yeah, wonderful game. What a time.
Yeah, I've been seeing a lot on Twitter, just people's clips of various things happening, and it's got that kind of Breath of the Wild sort of they call it like water cooler conversations where you're like, oh, have you seen this? No. Have you seen this? No.
Yeah.
And it's like everyone's got something really different to bring to the table when it comes to talking about Dragon's Dogma 2. And seeing all the clips on Twitter of just all these weird things happening, like a ogre basically made themselves a bridge accidentally by like
Yeah.
trying to chase after someone. Like you said, griffins just coming out of nowhere and yanking the people that you're killing, and throwing your pawns over to somewhere else so they can drop down a ladder for you.
Yeah.
It just feels like it's very creative whilst maintaining kind of like relatively strict RPG elements on it, because it is a hard to play game.
It is very much so. It's like I said, there's not like a lot of tutorialization. It doesn't give you a lot in terms of teaching you the game. It's very much you learn by doing. And I think that is my favorite part of the game is like there was a battle I was doing against this giant like golem thing and it was like spewing lasers and all sorts about at me. Then like a band of wolves turned up randomly because they were in like the nearing area and had heard the battle. And then a fucking drake swooped in and then just set fire to everything, including all of them in mid-battle. I was already like on my last knees and suddenly this drake swoops in and I've got to run for my life. And then one pawn gets thrown off a cliff and another one gets killed by the dragon fire. And I was like, you just don't get this kind of like organic kind of gameplay where that wasn't scripted to happen. It was because the griffin happened to fly, or the drake, sorry, happened to fly overhead at the time that I was battling these things. And I was like, oh, that looks fun. I'm gonna go fuck it up. And then that's how the game works. So you'll get like a very different experience every time you play it. And like you said, it's water cooler moments because you'll experience something that somebody else just doesn't have happen to them. And that makes it feel really exciting because every time you go on a quest, you just don't know what's gonna happen when you hit the pathway.
Crazy. Do you know, if I didn't have my game of the week, if that didn't turn up, I was genuinely very close to ordering the Steelbook from game to play it. It
Yes,
was going to be,
you're in a real toss-up with this, weren't you?
it was going to be either or. I still think I made a pretty, I mean, it wasn't even my choice at that point. It came delivered, whatever. So I played it. Do not regret it. But I'll get into that in a sec. But for now, Kat, what is your game of the week?
My game of the week, I've finally gotten out of my funk. I've got to pretend that you don't know this, so I'm just going to repeat the story like it wasn't you. but I've been in a funk. I said I said last week that I was just in and out of all these games. And to be honest with you, when I'm in a funk, I don't know about any of you guys, I will end up, and I know this doesn't happen to Miles because he always goes, get off the menu. I will stare at my PlayStation menu for like hours and just stare at my phone with the menu on.
I'm
And
you.
that's when you can tell.
Yeah,
What?
that's me as well. That's
Oh,
me as well. I'm
you.
you.
I thought you said I'm you. I was like, shit, have I been muted this whole fucking time? First of all, I'm
No.
fucking humming, thinking I'm on mute, and now I'm like talking, muted.
But somehow I can hear
Okay,
you. Yes,
when
no, I am you in that situation. And when I'm in a funk, that's it. I
yeah,
just carry on.
I just have the menu on and just listening to the song. The staff gets sick of the theme songs of each game that happen.
No, she's probably crocheting on her
Yeah,
phone.
probably. Oh, bless her. Yeah, so I end up in a funk. I end up on PlayStation Money for ages. I end up scrolling. It's like doom scrolling the PlayStation store. And you literally said, what, 11 p.m. last night? Why don't you give Tinykin a go? Because it's on the PlayStation Plus now. And I thought, maybe, yeah, okay. I kind of dabbled with the idea of Death Stranding, but there was something about sitting through those cutscenes that just made me want to die a little bit. So you were like, oh, give Tinykin a go. Yeah, I'm on the last level of Tinykin, and I started at 11 p.m. last night. Didn't get off it until 2 in the morning. Went back on it again at 12, and here we are. So my game of the week is Tinykin. For those who don't know, Josh reviewed it. I actually read the review today because I'm intrigued when I play a game and if anyone's already previously reviewed it, like what they thought. And actually, I think your review's bang on, mate. It's really good. I really like it. You know, there's some stuff that's been there. And it's been done to death, but actually Tinykin make it really fun and really explorable, and yeah, it's really cool. Essentially what the game is, it's kind of like a puzzle adventure platformer, I would say, where you are a little dude called Milo or Maladin, but they call him Milo for short. And he has exported himself to this little planet. And he's become really tiny, and whilst he's been really tiny, he's kind of in the middle of this house. And he's found some little Tinykins to follow him around, and they all have like a different function. So if you think about like Pikmin without the threat, and you know, each colored Pikmin had its own like function, it's exactly the same here. So some Tinykin are really strong and they'll carry stuff for you. Other Tinykin are like little towers, and you can climb the tower like a ladder. And essentially, you have to maneuver throughout all the rooms in the house. Each room is like a level. So you go from, you know, the living room to the staircase, to the kitchen, to the bathroom, all sorts. There's so much. There's about, what was it, 8 levels, something like that. But it's just loads of fun. Like, there's nothing too much to think about. It is a really good brain in the jar game. So, like, that was a proper top recommendation, to be fair, Josh, because it's, Josh kind of explained it to me yesterday where he said, it's a little bit like it's basically a collectathon, but it's not a collectathon where you feel like you're just going through the motions. It's a collectathon that allows you to think that, you know, you've actually done something, and there's actually a little bit of motivation behind it all. It's like a really fun way to do it. Because I was feeling a bit fatigued. I've played a lot of Dreamlight. I've played a lot of other games that are very similar that are a bit too brain in the jar, and now I needed something that I was like, oh, I don't want to think, but I don't want to not think. You know, I just want a happy medium of brain in the jar, and this is perfect. So. Yeah, there's loads of stuff to do. So, like, there'll be things where you have to collect all the Tinykin first because, you know, you might not have enough green ones to be able to get to higher places. I had to, like, put corn in the cob. Somebody wanted popcorn, so I had to go and get the corn, put it in the microwave, which was the other side of the kitchen, and then, you know, get the popcorn, and I had to get all my little Tinykin to carry the pieces of popcorn all the way back to my dude. It's just really great. There's no enemies. The only thing that like can kill you is heights and water. And if that, you know, you don't necessarily lose any progress. It's just a lot of fun. I've just had a great time playing it. I'm a bit sad because I'm actually nearly finished it. I'm on the last level, like halfway through the last level. So yeah, that's been my game of the week, dude.
Good stuff. I'm glad to hear it. I'm glad you've had a really good time with it. It's not bite size, but it feels manageable, you know? And when you're in
Yeah.
one of those funks and every game is like 100 hours and you get overwhelmed at the length, you're just a bit like, well, things like Tinykin can do it, and like you said, like you're about to do it in a weekend, basically. And
It's a really, really good size, actually. Like, I'd probably have one or two more levels easy, but actually, it's not going on for so long that it overstays its welcome.
Well, excellent
And
stuff. I'm glad you're liking
thank
Tinykin.
you. Thank you. What is your game of the week there, Josh? You kind of alluded to it
It's going to be 1.5 because Ross isn't here. He can't tell me what to do. And I feel
Fair. Respect
obligated
that.
to talk about, because I've been teasing it for weeks on end, because bless THQ Nordic, and I want to say it's Dead Good Media that doing the PR for this game. I've been playing, well, I played Alone in the Dark almost a month ago, and it came out earlier this week. So as you listen to this, it's probably been just under a week. It came out last Tuesday. Yeah, Alone in the Dark by Pisces Interactive. It's the got the creative director of Soma behind it as the writing and directive lead of it. It's of course a not a continuation. It's almost like a reboot sequel type deal from the original Alone in the Dark from 92, I want to say. It's a couple of years before Resident Evil, so people consider it a lot to be like the OG survival horror. In a lot of ways, in kind of how it plays and stuff like that. And yeah, Alone in the Dark, you play as either Edward Carmley or Emily Hartwood, played by David Harbour or Jodie Comer. Probably the best people to be in between right there. And they are, so Emily Hartwood has commissioned Edward Carmby to look at a place called Deserto Manor in Louisiana, to find her uncle, who left behind a very distressing letter for her to read. And that spurred on this kind of investigation to be like, what is going on with uncle? And turns out Deserto Manor is kind of like a semi-retired, inpatient home for the mentally unwell. And your uncle's there because of that, and you're there, and it gets a little bit weird. It gets a little bit freaky. Yeah, the full review's on the site. I'm not going to talk too much about it. I want to give you a brief about what the game's like. It's not great. It plays like a very old game, and it's very janky. Jodie Comer and David Harbour, I've heard mixed things about other people saying that they think they're really good. I genuinely think they just do not care. And maybe that blaseness is intentional and it went over my head. Kind of, he's meant to be like some noir protagonist who's very like brutish and like just very like, just kind of accepts the moment because he's seen some shit. I didn't read that. I just thought they were like, yeah, nice little payday. A few hours in a booth and that's sorted. And the gameplay is feels very archaic, very floaty, and very uninteresting. However, the puzzles are pretty decent, and the atmosphere and the quote unquote vibes, I hate saying that word, but the vibes of Alone in the Dark are incredible. I love the Louisiana Southern Gothic setting, and how it bleeds into the manor and all different ways. And yeah, if you aren't a survival horror fan, but you've thought about it, this might be a really good gateway drug because it's not overly scary. It's quite accessible at the same time. And it could lead you on to better ones. And that's all I have to say. I've got a full review up on Finger Guns website. I wasn't the kindest, but I also haven't absolutely written it off. It's one of those, I think some people will love it, some people will hate it. Similarly to my actual game of the week, which really ended up being a surprise for me because one, it actually turned up at my door after I cancelled my pre-order. I have paid for it, so it's not a free copy. But yeah, I went on a journey with this. I kind of absolutely enamored by the first trailer at a PlayStation showcase once upon a time. Really loved it. Absolutely was gobsmacked that it was Team Ninja behind an open world game. That sounds like a recipe for a great game. And then we started seeing gameplay. Wasn't looking too hot. Started seeing reviews. Some people are pretty positive, but there is quite. It's got a bit of a Days Gone where like the majority is either mixed or negative, but there are a couple of outliers that will say it's a great game. And I might be one of the outliers because whilst the game, I can definitely recognize it for its litany of flaws, it is a fully functioning and well-crafted combat design open world adventure that kind of just scratches that itch for ticking the boxes on an open world for, you know, doing bits basically. Like you're constantly doing stuff and traversing through. So Ronin is set in like 1850s, end of the Edo period, or around the end of the Edo period of Japan, where Western civilization is starting to colonize parts of Japan, come over and trade with Japan. So you've kind of got France, America, and England all kind of meddling in Japan. So the architecture is starting to turn into like brickwork as opposed to kind of like the wooden sort of houses they've got and stuff like that. And you are one of two, what are they called? They're like sort of warriors from a band of warriors that are called the Veiled Edge, I think. And essentially, like, there's you always come as a pair in the Veiled Edge, so you can pick between one of the two protagonists that you create. And you go and you set off on adventure as one of them. And yeah, it kind of just explores a semi historically accurate Japan of that time period. You kind of go about your day with kind of just, I'm not that far into it, I'll be honest. So I'm not too sure what's going, what the story, overarching story is going to be. But that's not because I've not played a lot. It's because I've spent so much time in the open world, kind of doing bits, riding my horse and clearing out camps of bandits and stuff like that and doing side missions that I'm just getting sidetracked with the story. So I really don't know what's going on with the story. However, it's got that absolutely amazing Team Ninja combat that they're known for. Starting from kind of Neo, where they about 10 years ago, and then they've done Neo 2, now and Wolong, and now Rise of the Ronin follows that similar formula. You could call it a Souls-like, and it is to an extent, but it's more arcadey, more action heavy, and actually, it's got a little bit of Ninja Gaiden, in my opinion. So if you like those sort of games, then you'll like this, and if you like open worlds, kind of like Assassin's Creed, then you'll like this. I would probably compare it to like something like a Sekiro, but open world, in that it's not graphically stunning, but it's got cool art direction, and there's a plethora of things you can do in terms of that action. You kind of you've got like a few shinobi moves where you are a bit of a ninja, and you're using a grappling hook to use to your advantage to assassinate people, but you can also engage in full frontal combat, and there's a, like. A whole arsenal of weapons that you can go through that change how you fight, and there's different stances for each weapon. You can unlock more. So there's a really, really in-depth combat system that is so satisfying every time you get into a fight. So that's kind of why I've gotten lost in the world, because every situation I get into normally ends in a fight one way or the other. So I'm enjoying it. I'm really enjoying it. And no, it's not perfect, but it's, you know, it's really engaging, and it runs well. Like it doesn't have bugs and it doesn't have glitches, and I'm not getting frustrated at little things that could be avoided. So it's very well optimized. So yeah, check that out if you have been on the fence. Obviously Dragon's Dogma 2 came out, so you've got one or the other. You've got a really immersive sim RPG, or you've got a really like paint by the numbers, but equally like satisfying in its own right, open world RPG with Souls-like sort of combat. And that's it. That was Game of the Week for everyone. And I do believe we're going to be onto a quiz. And Miles doesn't have to ask me for permission because he is the host of this. I'm just hosting the podcast. So Miles, take it away with the quiz.
I've all the bloody power this week. No need to ask permission. Yes, we are doing another screenshot one. Yeah, we're keeping going. There's just it's like a well that just keeps on giving, you know. So let me pull this up for the quiz, and then let me see your beautiful names so that I can know who is first, or
So, for the
at
listeners, we have been doing a picture quiz every week on an audio podcast. These screenshots will be on our post on the website after the podcast goes live, so you can play along. You can also just check out the answers or check out the screenshots if you're like, what came to that decision for this person? So, yeah, definitely check it out. I'm ready. Are you ready, Kat?
I'm ready to go. Good
Excellent.
stuff.
Alrighty, team.
Take it away.
Let's do this. Number one, go.
How do I?
Oh, Josh.
Is that Dragon's Dogma 1?
It is Dragon's Dogma
Oh, do you know what? I
1.
was going to fully guess that as well. And I was like, that would be silly. And then apparently it wouldn't be.
No, if it is silly, it is probably the answer. well done, Josh. Good guess. Number two. Cat.
That is. It's not. Oh my God, it's which one though? That is Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban.
It's not.
Fuck off.
Josh?
So, am I right in thinking, Kat, that this can't be Hogwarts Legacy because there isn't Quidditch?
Right. You are right, but then it looks like it's got some sort of weird little Hogwarts Legacy like icon at the bottom.
And you don't look like Harry. In every other game you play as Harry.
Well, the
So
thing is as well, like this kind of does look a bit Hogwarts Legacy, but it's not, it can't be, because like you said, it's not Quidditch. We haven't got Quidditch.
I'm gonna lock in Hogwarts Legacy, but I don't want the point for it because I've a really unfair screenshot.
It actually is Hogwarts Legacy. I didn't even think about it because I just took it from the press kit. This is in the press kit for the game.
Well,
Right,
they definitely.
Warner Brothers, we've got some fucking talking to do. What is
This
this? So
is.
you've made fucking Quidditch, you've made it, and then you're gonna fucking palm it off for some
Do you
cunty
know what?
DLC in about a year's time.
I remember that they did not last minute, but very. Like it was delayed a few times, I think. And one of the delays was that they were taking the Quidditch stuff to kind of like make it sort of run better. Like it would
I
just,
clicked,
maybe it
yeah,
was
I agree with
bloated.
you. I actually was like, that really looks like Hogwarts Legacy, but it physically can't be. And then I answered my question, and then I saw the little swirly thing, you know, the swirly thing underneath the thing. And I was like, that's a Hogwarts Legacy symbol. And also as well, like, it just like I thought it was a trick. I thought that actually maybe we'd had it blanked from our memories how similar the older games looked. And that's why I have Azkaban, because Philosopher's Stone and Chamber of Secrets is so wonky and so like I was like, maybe it's Azkaban and it, you know, looks semi in the game.
You know what? I actually I did play, I think I played Deathly Hallows Part One for sure, and that was like a third person shooter, which it
I
could
didn't
be
even
like
realise they had a
this.
Deathly Hallows.
They weren't bad games. I think I got the platinum on one of my old accounts. It was pretty decent. It felt like just a cover shooter basically.
Good times.
Nice.
But yeah, apparently this is Hogwarts Legacy according to its press kit. So I actually didn't even think about
Wow.
the fact that it doesn't have Quidditch in it because obviously I haven't played it. So it was probably my
No.
lack of knowledge on my part.
No, we're both very ignorant to the game. But yeah.
That's fine. We will Josh forgo forgave forgoed forgoed his point for that one. So we'll move on and just pretend it never happened. How
By the way,
about
can I just
that?
quickly plug in your mouse, because my laptop is like extremely clunks when it comes to the. There we go. Okay, sorry. Okay, I'm
Wants a
good now.
tactical advantage.
Thank you. Yeah, I don't want to
The
like have
instant
to like
reaction ability.
punch my keyboard, but thank you so much.
Number three, let's go.
I don't know what that is.
I guarantee you both know what this is,
Oh,
Josh.
it is What Remains of Edith Finch.
That it is. Well done.
I play.
Roscoe's gonna be raging he missed this quiz.
Solid
He
7 out of
is.
10 game, that. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, 8 out of 10. It was all right.
8 out of 10. 8 out of
You guys, you need to play it now
10.
that you're adults, I think, because oof,
I was an
you
adult.
feel.
I
I
was
literally
only like
played it
12.
like.
I was only 2 years ago.
I was gonna say, I only played it
Really?
like 3 years ago.
Yeah. Oh,
Oh man, I played it last year and I was in tears by the end of it.
yeah, you were like
No.
beside yourself. You were like, oh, I just
Yeah.
played it again. Like, what the
I thought it was good. It just didn't. It wasn't all that for me.
Stop there. Everyone's gonna hate you.
Know,
Your
I
opinion.
know. I've had this with Roscoe many a time. I know I'm fully in the minority with this. It's the same with Outer Wilds. It's just where I can get in the bin. Number four, go. Oh, cat.
I fucked up. That's not what I think it is. Never mind.
Intrigued to know what you think it is.
I literally saw the like glowing person and thought it was After Us, but it's not.
Oh no, I'm not that obscure with it just yet. Josh.
Ross is really going to kick himself for not being here this week because
For
it
fucking
is
Caleb.
everybody's gone to the rapture.
Fucking hell, Josh
Oh.
is on it today.
I do want to say that Ross is into that game. I might be wrong. He can
Yeah, he
correct us next
is. He
week.
loves it.
To be fair, this was one I also loved. This was like my first proper walking simulator, and I
I
absolutely
can't
adore it.
believe you love this and not What Remains of Edith Finch.
I mean, Edith Finch is good.
This is so much slower.
I know,
Like,
but I just liked it. I think also because it was my first one, whereas Edith Finch I've played a few already, so it's like the effect is a little bit undercut when you've already played a few. Whereas this is my first one. I imagine if I played it now, I don't think I'd appreciate it quite as much as I did then. But yeah, I really like this one. Number five, Josh.
Now, this is a bogus one because there is absolutely infinite amount of these games. No pun intended for the latest release.
Well, hey.
But I'm going to go Yakuza Zero.
Fucking hell, Josh. You
Was that
smashed it.
right?
It is right.
Wow.
You are all over this. This one was a bit of an unfair one, but yeah, I thought the others were a bit mixed. But yeah, well done. This was a tough one because I know there are a lot in the series. As you said, quite an infinite number.
Cheeky.
Cheeky, but you still got it. Well done. Number six. Oh, cat.
I've no idea what that is. I just literally clicked. Is
Oh,
that I played this. Oh, what's it called? Because I found it so mediocre and I stopped playing it.
you did, and it made me a bit sad.
Very sad, very sad, very sad, very sad. That's gonna really bother me. I'm gonna have to pass it because it's actually like gone out of my head. But everyone banged on about it, and I was like, Oh wait. No, it's something within the light within the light within the light within the light. Something like that. I'm fucking sure it is, right? Am
You're
I sure I'm
close.
right?
You're closer. You're not quite there, but you are
Oh, go
close.
on, Josh. Just take the point.
I can't tell you. I don't know. I have no idea. Into the light.
No, it's
It's
like
not into the light.
within the light, into the light, onto the light, fucking summit.
Underneath
I was on
the light. I'm
beneath
gonna
the
give you a
light.
hint. Look at the person in the middle. What kind of person are they?
Bury the light.
Oh yes, it's Child of Light.
It is Child of
Oh,
Light.
yeah.
That was a harder one, to be fair. I really like this
That
game.
was a PS Plus game, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
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 The soundtrack to it is really gorgeous. So, yeah, I appreciate it.
I was going to say Brave at first.
Yeah, I can actually see that, to be fair. Number seven. Oh no.
No, not a
Have
fucking clue, pal.
I
No,
gone
the
too
fuck is
obscure?
that?
Josh?
Is it Guacamelee?
It is Guacamelee. I love this game. This game is great.
Jesus.
It was another PlayStation Plus one.
Oh, you've got a is it these are most of these are PS Plus games.
Yeah, quite a few of
Like
them are
monthly
now.
games.
That wasn't the like theme of them, but it just happened that way as I was building out the quiz. Number eight. Oh, cat was straight in there.
Is Life is Strange Before the Storm.
It is Life is Strange Before the Storm. Well done.
Mate, I would not have guessed the subtitle. I would have
Really?
just said the first one.
It's because it's when they're on the train and you can and they've bunked off school, and you can like jump off and explore the park, and then that's when she sees what she sees with her
I've not played
parents.
this one.
So, oh, what? It's the best one. In my opinion, it's the best one.
It is, but it also doesn't have a plat, so I didn't care.
Boo.
No, you have to for this game and how good it is and how good the soundtrack is.
Yeah, the soundtrack to this is
Just get through
stellar.
it. Just get through that.
Yeah.
Probably one of my favorite soundtracks in a video game, to be fair. It's like top
Same.
five.
It's probably my favorite of all time.
And this moment in particular is
Did you
just
guys
really, really well
play
done.
Captain Spirit?
I did.
I fucking loved that one.
Yeah,
That
that
one
was
was
really
really good.
cool. Yeah, that one was really, really cool.
Soundtrack from Sufjan Stevens as well. Awesome.
They just nail it every time with Life is Strange, to be fair.
Yeah.
Okay, number nine. Bit of a tough one. Oh, cat, straight in there.
Borderlands 2.
It is not Borderlands 2. Go on, Josh.
Is it Outer Worlds?
Fucking hell, he's got
Oh,
it
yeah.
again.
Do you know what? The only reason that I wasn't even convinced it was Borderlands, but it kind of looked like it, was because of his little yellow helmet.
Yeah.
Yeah. He
He's
looks
like,
like what are they called? Ravagers? Raiders?
yeah. Something
I
like
was gonna,
that.
and I was like, this doesn't look like Borderlands 2, but I'm gonna fucking say it because CBA.
Yeah, you might as well
Yeah,
commit and just find out.
fuck
Yeah,
it. Let's move it forward, shall we? I don't know.
just don't want to be disappointed if you didn't guess it and it was.
I've still not played this one.
Me either. I've like downloaded it about three times and never got around to actually playing it, and I really want to. So I thought I'd just bring it into the quiz instead and live vicariously through it. And that leaves us with number 10. Oh, cat, you're
I
first.
misclicked. That's the oh my God, it's the one that you and Toby have fucking played. That's gonna really bother me. I've taken Ross's advice and just clicked if I semi-recognize it, and this has kind of not gone in
It
my favor. What the fuck is it called? And Returnal.
is Returnal. Well
Oh
done.
my God. Whoo! I was
I
like,
played it
wait.
too. I played it before Miles. I played it pre-patch
Oh my God. Well,
when it
I
was
haven't
really
played it. Where's
awful.
your fucking hand? There we go.
RNG.
You've won.
My hand was a bit. I tried to do it. My mouse is. I'm
My
making
mind
excuses
was
now.
a. See,
All the
this is why I
excuses.
plug my mouse in. I get it. I get that. Your mouse is just.
Yeah.
Makes a difference, you know. Which leaves us our final scores. Well done, Josh. You are the winner this week with 6 points. Kat, you did well there. I feel like you're a bit unlucky on a couple of them.
As always, no kidding. I've won a few. Yeah, well done, Josh. Very nice, very
Thank you.
nice.
Thank
I'm
you. impressed that you got a couple of those in particular. Child of Light was funny watching the two of you go back and forth trying to figure it out.
Fucking hell, that was painful.
We need more like that though. That was a really good one because it's not an immediate like, oh.
Yeah.
Those
That's
are
it.
quite hard to come by though,
That's
because I
it.
feel
It's
like.
like it's ones that people know but won't have played either a lot of, or not everybody's played but will have heard of it. Like I always try and like balance the quizzes because like there are some games that are like really obscure ones that I've played where everyone will be like, "What the fuck is that?" And I don't think there's any point in those. But ones like Child of Light are quite fun to try and find.
Ross is going to be absolutely punching the ceiling that neither of us was immediately getting what remains of Edith Finch.
He's going to be
So, you
steaming out
guys,
the ears.
morons! No, he doesn't berate us.
No, not at all. Never. Not once.
Do you know what? For a second, I forgot I was hosting, so I was just gonna wait for the
Gonna
next proposition, and
wait for
it's
the
up to
next
me
thing to
this
roll
week.
in.
Well, thank you, as always, Miles, for doing the quiz this week.
Not at all. Glad it was good.
And let's talk about news. And the big one for this week, I think, is gonna be Dragon's Dogma 2 is getting review bombed by players over a sudden spring of microtransactions at launch. So there has been a thing going around that came out that Dragon's Dogma 2 released, and then it released a bunch of DLC content, basically like Miles might be able to explain it better, but there are certain fast travel material that you can use and buy. There are you can customize your character if you pay for it as well. You can get New Game Plus if you pay for it. There's quite a long list of things that you can basically purchase in Dragon's Dogma 2 that a lot of people were saying, "Oh, we didn't know about this." But I'm gonna put it straight to you, Miles. As you reviewed it, you were given a review guide, weren't you?
Yes, I was, yeah.
Did you go through it and did you see the section where it was basically saying DLC content or microtransaction content?
I don't recall it. In fairness, I didn't go through the review guide particularly strongly. I just wanted to make sure that I avoided spoilers or things that I shouldn't talk about. But I guess from what I've so I looked into this because pre-release there wasn't any microtransaction stuff. So I played the game on the basis of just the game itself. And I think this fits very much in line with Capcom's other games and their approach to microtransactions in them. Like, for example, in Resident Evil 4, you can buy those tickets to upgrade your guns, can't you? Or you get like the tokens that makes it once you fully upgraded it, that then like, you get like the full upgrade. I don't know, however that one worked. But the idea was you could still upgrade your weapons anyway. You could still do it naturally. It would just be a quicker, fast track if you wanted to just skip a bit of the grind kind of thing. However, the upgrade system was clearly built with the game's mechanics in mind. So you are almost kind of, whereas other games, say for example, with Assassin's Creed Odyssey, they release microtransactions to just skip the fact that the game is boring and grindy. Like you could just rinse through it quicker and actually it would just make the game more enjoyable. Whereas with Capcom, I think their approach is always, we're going to make the mechanics, we're going to make it work like this. And then for people who don't have time to invest loads of hours, they can pay their way through to speed some of that process up if they want to. And Dragon's Dogma 2 is exactly the same. So you can fast travel throughout the game using items. They are scarce on purpose because the idea of this game is that you are supposed to venture out, backtrack, and spend your time exploring the world. They don't want you fast traveling a lot because actually it takes away a lot of the experience of the game. You can customize your character at towns and cities in the game. It is expensive. I think when I went to the barber for the first time, I had like 3 grand of gold, and I thought that was a lot. And the barber was like, "Yeah, it's 15 grand to change your hairstyle." I was like, "What?" So it is expensive. However, once you get to like the second half of the game, you start raking in a lot of money. So it starts to become less of a factor. And again, equally, your character's covered in armor most of the time. So again, doesn't really matter too much. All of these microtransactions you can just do by playing the game, or you can earn them via playing the game anyway. So, from my perspective, they don't really matter too much. I get the argument that this is a single player game, it's £70 for the first time from a Capcom game. I would counter that by saying this is probably a 50 to 100 hour game, as it is anyway, and it is an exceptionally high quality one. So I don't mind them introducing certain things to make a bit of extra money off the back of it, albeit I appreciate this is £70 we've not been happy about as games anyway. But I feel like the fact that they are completely skippable, like if I went, I'm obviously going to go back to Dragon's Dogma 2 at post review and whatever, I won't have any incentive to buy any of these. And I don't think regular players of Dragon's Dogma 2 will have any incentive or need to buy them. And I think that is an important qualifier with this. You don't need these microtransactions. They are literally there for people who probably don't have the time to invest hours and hours worth into the game and just want a bit of an easier time riding through it. I guess there is an argument about whether that's necessary, whether they should be in the game. I think the fact that they weren't really talked about prior to launch and then they just throw them up on launch day doesn't sit well with people. But I think Capcom, of all publishers, have maybe earned a bit of grace with this because how good their games are and the value for money you get from them. I don't feel as aggrieved by it personally, but I do appreciate others' perspectives of this is a single player game full of microtransaction stuff. And I guess some people will argue that the game's mechanics have been tweaked to accommodate those microtransactions. I personally don't believe that, but I think some people will have valid points around that. So it's a shame because it's overshadowing how good a game this is. And those microtransactions do not take that away at all. And you can pay your £70, you can have a great time with it for dozens of hours, and you can ignore these completely without any issue. So for me, it's okay. The performance stuff, it is funny because on PS5, it does have like characters will literally pop in like 2 yards in front of you. And I'm not talking like one or two, I'm talking like masses of characters can sometimes do this when you're like in a town or a hub. But it is the price that's paid for every NPC can be interacted with, every NPC can be killed at any time in anywhere in the game. They're all named, they have affinity gauges with you. These aren't just your standard placeholder people in a world, they are actual characters that you can engage with. And there are no loading screens across the entire game, which I think is absolutely ludicrous for how big a game this is. So there are concessions, and on PS5, it just gets around that by using pop-in. It's not the nicest way, it's not the greatest thing, but it's, you know, the trade-off of what you get. I think on PC the performance has been more of a problem and there's more issues. But if you're getting this on console, I think you'll be fine. Just obviously for PC players, it's not been a good ride of it. So yeah, it's hard because my experience hasn't been affected by these things, but I totally appreciate for other people it will be. But don't be deterred from what is an absolutely phenomenal game just because of what you're hearing. This game is still well worth your time and your money. Just be aware that there might be some problems, especially on PC.
Yeah, and I think Xbox Series S as well is struggling to keep up with a lot of the sort of CPU side of how the game's supposed to run.
I mean, that's pretty much par for the course of the Series S, isn't it?
Well, yeah, for sure. And I think with PCs being so varied, it's very hard to kind of make everyone happy with all their kind of different parts of a game.
Has led to some
But
fun
that was
memes for
good.
PC players like culling their own PCs, isn't it? Just everybody going on like these
Yeah.
genocides of the NPCs to make the game run smoother.
Yeah. So that was kind of the bulk of kind of why the review bombing is. You kind of brought it up organically just through talking about the microtransactions, but there is an underlying thing there where the game is running at a lower state for the sake of, would you say, immersion? Like it's kind of like bringing new sort of aspects to the game that's to make it a more living and breathable world, but for the cost of that, it's kind of suffering in the hardware department a little bit.
I'd say so, yeah.
Yeah, so this is a £70 game, or like you said, $70, and I think price wise that's quite expensive for games nowadays. And I know first party titles we are paying for that, but Kat, for you, is paying that much for a game and then being incentivized to potentially pay more, is that where you think some of the problem lies with that?
That's a good question. I think that their argument is going to be, well, you don't have to pay for it because you can just grind it instead. And I guess there was that thing, wasn't there, with Diablo when they did it, and they worked out that if you grinded it, it would take like hundreds of hours. So like it was like this idea where they try to make it your choice. But actually, in reality, no one would go for the let's just grind it out for 400 hours. And I think if it starts to kind of like edge on that side of the spectrum, then you shouldn't be charging £70 for a game because that's not choice. That's, that's like aggressive persuasion. And you're not necessarily like giving people a choice there. You're kind of like forcing their hand to buy a transaction to enjoy your game. And actually, then they deserve every single, like, if that is the case, which I'm not saying it is a Dragon's Dogma, but it's more like if that is the case, then you kind of deserve every bad review you get. However, if it's not the case, and what Miles was saying, like he's managed to play it without any transactions, gotten through it fine, then that's a different story. And I guess like it just depends on how quick you want to play the game, depending on how quick it is about those transactions. I think that personally, I think £70 in this day and age, yes, we can always justify the price of a game because of the industry, the creation, the talent, the devs, etc. And £70 in the grand scheme of things for the amount of work and the amount of years that go into game development can be seen as relatively cheap, or that's a good price. However, if they're set to make, if they've got transactions that go up to the hundreds within that kind of game, I just think it's naughty. I don't like that's the word I'm going to use. I don't think it's frank. I don't think it's like outrageous. I think it's naughty, and I think that there should be a cut-off of like if we're going to charge consumers £100, then there's absolutely no microtransaction. I'd be livid if I spent, I don't know, £79.99 on Horizon 3, for example. And they were like, oh, you can fuck around the world and craft these arrows. Or if you pay 59p or £1.29, we'll give you a pack of 30. It just depends. It depends on the nuance of it. Like, how hard is that material to grasp? How big is that grind going to be? How much time is going to be spent overall? So it's really, it's kind of that where like it's a difficult question to say yes or no to. My own personal opinion is I don't think microtransactions should exist in a game that big. I think it's cheeky. I think it's taking advantage of people's time almost, like, and especially if there is like a big cost to the grind. It's not very, it's just not cool, you know? That's how it
Yeah.
feels.
I think I'm siding on your opinion more so than Miles, because there is a place where we should put to question anyone that includes microtransactions for a game that isn't or free or isn't like a multiplayer experience where it is kind of like, Fortnite does skins or they do battle passes where they work as like an economy where if you buy a battle pass, if you don't spend the coins that you earn in that, you can basically have just spent the one lot of so much and that's it. But it also is also a free game. So yeah, I
And I
think
think there's also something else. Oh, sorry.
no, I was just going to say, I think the pitchforks are a little bit unwarranted with the review bombing and stuff like that, but we should always talk about when games that cost this much do practices like this, but Capcom aren't new to this at all.
Yeah, I agree. And it would be such a shame to see the future of that develop into you have to be wealthy to play games.
Yeah. And I
Because,
think,
like, £70 is quite a lot for somebody, you know,
yeah.
as it is, let alone them being like, oh my God, Dad, can I play? Or, oh my God, Mum, or, oh my God, this job
Yeah.
doesn't pay for me to be able to enjoy my hobby without paying £1.29 a week for the
Yeah.
next foreseeable, which feels a
Yeah.
bit yuck.
And
We've
I
got kind
think
of like a.
it's just the
Oh.
saying, like time is money. Like if you've got money, you've got less time. But
Yeah,
that kind of works.
absolutely.
Like you're more busy, so you've got more money because you're probably working. So you want to kind
That's,
of pay for an experience that's more open, but you shouldn't have to.
No, and then you turn it into a class problem of like, oh, I can't play
Yeah.
that game because I can't afford. And I can
Yeah.
see that that isn't the case of Dragon's Dogma. Like, we're talking in like speculations of, you know, what could this develop into? Because this is how it starts. This is how the cheese rolls down the hill, with this kind of stuff. And yeah, it would be a shame to have people be excluded from the industry. I don't know, I'm talking in, you know, ifs, buts, and maybes and making big leaps,
Yeah.
but I think this is how it starts.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, microtransactions have been a horrible sort of blight on the industry for, God, like 15 years now, maybe. And it's only continuing. And I don't think it's gotten worse necessarily. But maybe you can argue that having microtransactions in a single player game is the industry getting worse as a whole. So, yeah. Naughty Capcom is what we're saying. Naughty Capcom. But I love their games. Exo Primal, I still love you. Resident Evil, I still love you. Dino Crisis, you're in the grave, but I still love you. speaking of things that aren't in the grave anymore, we have got Toys for Bob have reportedly agreed to partner with Microsoft on its next game. This came out today as of Sunday. This is Chris Scullion over at VGC. The studio announced last month that it was leaving Activision Blizzard and becoming an independent studio, but it didn't rule out working with Activision Blizzard's new owner, Microsoft. This has now led to an apparent finalized deal, according to Windows Central, after a recent Xbox town hall meeting held for staff. And Xbox Game Studio head Matt Booty was asked what was happening with Toys with Bob, or Toys for Bob. It's Toys for Bob, isn't it? Yeah, because I've written in my headline section Toys of Bob. I didn't say that. I did say Toys for Bob, and
No, Toys for Bob.
I can't tell if this is the copy and paste bit, but this might be in the VGC article that says Toys with Bob. So Toys for Bob. There we go. Yes, Booty reportedly said that the agreement had reached with Toys for Bob for its first game as an independent studio. And while he didn't confirm what the game would be, he did say it would be similar to games Toys for Bob has made in the past. So there is only one person to speak about Toys for Bob, and it's the number one super fan, Cat,
Hello, how's it going?
tell us, cat. They
Yes.
say it's something that they're similar to the past. I've got a read on that. What is your read on that sort of quote?
We're getting one of two, I think. We're
Sure.
getting Skylanders, which I can take or leave, or we're getting Spyro the Dragon 4. And it makes sense to me to have Spyro the Dragon 4 because Toys for Bob literally named Crash 4 It's About Time. Come on, like the joke's already there. Like they've already got that. They've already got like, it in the process. And if we go back to the copyright thing that I mentioned nearly 18 months ago, where they'd already that somebody had been putting in copyright like bookmarks. They'd been paying for it. And that included merch, something else, entertainment. They're not allowed to say they don't have to say game until the time limit is up. It was like media, entertainment, merch. Yeah. I really want the dragon. I love the dragon. Me and Ross were talking earlier on the Slack. Because it's so interesting, isn't it? They have fired Microsoft. They've been like, nah, fuck you. We're not a part of you anymore. We're going to go independent. And then they've kind of done this like sort of 180-ish where they've gone like, you can't own us, but we will be your friend. You can buddy with us. And I think that's really clever. And we were talking about how clever that might be because, when a monopoly or a conglomerate like Microsoft own you, the decision making and the kind of, I guess, the hierarchy of rank is up to Microsoft. They can tell you where to go, they can tell you what to do, they can tell you what you're doing. And I guess if Toys for Bob now own how much of whatever they own of, Crash, Spyro, things like that, they are in the driver's seat. They just have Microsoft in the car with them, as opposed to the other way around. And I think that's really, really smart.
Yeah, like you said, because they've not got the overhead to basically pitch to now, they can go wherever they want, so to speak. And with them staying similar to games, of course they're going to do it because it's in their wheelhouse. They're known for it. And I'm going to hold off on what I think, but Miles.
Are you okay? You're gonna have like a really obscure one, aren't you? Hold on, I'm gonna look up their IP
No,
list.
I wouldn't say
Toys
obscure.
for Bob.
Miles. Obviously, it's a great decision for Toys for Bob to do this. I think, like Kat said, they now don't have an overhead, but they do have it, and they have independence. But they also are also getting help with funding, so they can kind of do what they want. I know you love Crash, but I don't know if you're like a Toys for Bob stan in the same vein as Kat. Is there something? Something that you'd love to see Toys for Bob do.
I guess not. No, like I'm not as much of a stan for all of their stuff. But I do love Crash and I do love them as a studio. I think their being under Activision was such a weird situation because they were clearly not about what Activision were about. So for me, I'm just glad that they have their independence and they can make the projects that they want to make and do it with their vision in mind. And I think Kat summed that up really well of, they're in the driver's seat now and they're just asking for people to come along for the ride with them who will support them in that. And I think working with Microsoft gives them back access to those IPs. I don't think that's a random coincidence. So I just want to see them do whatever they want to do. And as long as they can make the game that they want to make and actually be able to enjoy it properly, then that's all that really matters to me. Whether I will play it or not, I don't know. It'll very much depend on the game that it is, like the series it might be. I guess I'm not a massive platforming fan in general, but there are some that I do really enjoy. And I feel like Toys for Bob make really good, fun games to play. So yeah, I'm not especially, I guess, immersed within all of this, but I'm just very pleased to see a development team who are super, super talented be able to realize what they want to realize. So Yeah, no predictions on my end, really. I'm quite content with a Spiral or a Crash or something original wouldn't be too bad either, to be fair.
Yeah, seems like for the past like 4 or so years, they've just done additional work for Call of Duty. And when they've not done that, they've done a live service game in Crash Team Rumble. So their heart really hasn't been in it for a long time.
Yeah, we could do with less
So.
of the rumbles, I think. I'd happily take another proper game.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. I think maybe, just maybe, there might be something completely brand new. It
Completely
might
new
be a
IP.
mass. Yeah, I think it's a huge risk for them to do it because obviously they've got fans like yourself, Kat, that are starving for a Spyro sequel. I'm really surprised you didn't say a Crash sequel at all.
No, I think it's kind of like the Crash and Spyro community are so close that I think given Crash 4, if you actually look at the discourse of it, a lot of people are saying, yeah, that's cool, but what about Spyro? Like it's like the same community for some reason. They're like really blended. And I think when Crash Team Rumble came out, they were like, okay, cool, yeah, that's cool. Where's the fucking dragon gone? And then they put the dragon in the DLC and you're like, cool, make the fucking game then. Because we know they can do it. We know how beautiful it looked. I wouldn't be surprised, and I don't think it would be a disappointment to the community too much if it was completely new IP that was like an adventure 2024 take on what a spa a splash a Spyro or a Crash could be today.
Yeah, a new platform, a new not platform. What was I going to say? I literally had the word lined up as you were talking. Mascot, a new mascot to
Yes,
go along
yeah.
with Crash and Spyro
Yes,
to make a
yeah.
trio.
Like a turtle or
Wind them all
something, you
turtle.
wind them all together for a sequel. Maybe
Yeah.
even a Crash Spyro. I mean, you might not want it, but a Crash Spyro crossover platformer, like adventure
That
platformer.
would actually be pretty fucking sick. If Cortex
That would
and like the
be.
bad guy Spyro
Yeah,
joined forces.
that would be really sick. That would be like unbelievable, and I think that would sell really well.
Like a Rift Apart type deal where you've kind of got two universes clashing.
I'd probably end up like a Smash Brothers clone.
And they haven't like they haven't. That's not completely impossible given the Rift Apart level of the parade. They've got loads of Spyro stuff in there. So.
So,
I'm psyched. I am really psyched.
yeah, we shall see. And speaking of exciting new games, we did just get a story reveal trailer for Marvel's 1943 Rise of Hydra. This was revealed at the Unreal Engine showcase at GDC. And it's basically showing off and confirming that we will be playing as Captain America and Black Panther, but also a US soldier named Gabriel Jones and the leader of the Wakandan spy network, Nnamdi. This is like a whole new adventure set during the World War, or World War II, shall I say, in the year 1943, as the title suggests. And it kind of looks like Cap and Black Panther aren't on the best of terms, at least to start with. This trailer, well, it didn't come out of nowhere. It was at the Unreal Engine showcase, but I couldn't believe how gorgeous it looked. It was almost unnecessary at a point. But I wonder if either of you have checked out the trailer and what you think of it.
I literally just did as you were writing. It looks incredible. Like if I was to like blur my eyes, you'd think it was like a Netflix trailer.
Yeah, almost. Very close to.
Crazy. Looks really cool. Yeah, looks fucking gorgeous. But I'm dubious of story only. Like we've got that Guardians of the Galaxy when we had situation where like when we first ever saw the gameplay, it was jank. And I loved Guardians of the Galaxy, don't get me wrong, but yeah. Be interesting to see how that holds up in comparison, but it does look gorgeous.
This is really important to note. This is probably what I should have said at the top. This is helmed by Amy Hennig, who is the creative director of the Uncharted games. So we have got
Yes.
a star-studded pedigree working on this. This is also the debut for Skydance Studios, which is an offset off the film company Skydance. So there's some money being thrown at it, and I think you can obviously see it. Miles, there was something notable about the trailer that was very much so missing. And I'm wondering if you're thinking the same thing. Can you tell me what you think I'm thinking?
Was it gameplay?
It was indeed gameplay. We didn't see any of it. I think maybe we saw a representation of it in a
Wait, did I not
cutscene
just say
way.
that?
Did you say that?
Literally just said that. Yeah, I could be haven't seen any gameplay. So it'd be interesting to see the contrast, just like when we saw Guardians of the Galaxy gameplay. It looked really pretty, but the gameplay was
Oh,
janky.
I'm sorry.
And
I
he
heard
picked them
Guardians
up
of
and
the
was
Galaxy, and
like,
I was agreeing with
what are
you.
we missing? And I was like, and then Mars was like, is it gameplay? And I was like, am I dead? Am I actually not in this podcast?
No, I remembered you were saying Guardians of the Galaxy, and I think when you said Guardians of the Galaxy, my mind just went, oh, yeah, that was good, wasn't it? Oh, enjoyed
No,
that.
my first thing was it looks gorgeous, but I'm dubious because we've not seen any gameplay.
Okay, well, I'm sorry for badly listening. That is on me as a bad
Okay. That's
podcast host.
okay. I love you. I still love you, but I just wanted to make it clear that, you know, what's it? Beyoncé had the best video in the world, but I said it first. I'm like, finish,
Yeah. All
Miles,
right. Well, I
but I
just
said it
wanted to queue
first.
up a question because this is like it's not a nothing burger. I kind of appreciate it for what it is. I'm glad that we got to see quite a nice trailer. I just wanted to get something else more to talk about because there really isn't anything else. Miles, can you elaborate on anything that isn't gameplay? Because Kat's already spoken about it.
Funnily enough, I was actually going to mention about Amy Hennig being at the being involved with this game because
Yeah.
I think her leaving Naughty Dog, I found a real shame because I think she's phenomenal as a writer and just like her way of. I saw like an interview. I can't remember if it was about The Last of Us one in that whole like docuseries. But she's just super talented and she's credited with a lot of the work. I think even for The Last of Us, she does a lot of the work of like characterizing and building like the relationships between people within the games. And I think what really drew me, because Uncharted 2 is one of my favorite games ever. And I think Amy Hennig's direction of how to do characters, how to do stories is a major, major part of that. So with this, I had a similar thing of, as Kat said, you know, without any kind of gameplay, it's hard to know what the game's going to be like. But I know on the story side, just from this trailer and kind of knowing that she's involved, it's going to be good. And I know that it's going to be an involving kind of personable story. And I really like those kind of stories. That's why, you know, Uncharted 2, The Last of Us 1, those games that I really, really enjoy is because it's about the people and the characters. And I think she is a major part of building that. So I'm quite invested. I think that trailer was already quite kind of evoking of some things, and I was like, cool, this looks really interesting. And I like how they're doing the kind of, like you said, the bit of conflict that's going on between them, between Cap and Black Panther. But yeah, because there's four players, I'm a bit like, is this going to be sort of a like a squad-based game eventually, or is it just going to be like you do chunks of the story as each individual character, but it's very much just single player and that's it? So I kind of want to know more about what this game is going to play like. But when it comes to the story and narrative, I'm already pretty much a yes. It's just going to depend on what kind of game is this, because it looks amazing and the story already looks great. So it just needs the gameplay side of it, and then we can figure out whether it's going to be good.
Yeah, and I think as well with obviously what we're talking about with gameplay, and we're not really sure what the game is going to be essentially. Amy Hennig has kind of done, or not done. She's tried to work on multiple projects, I feel like, at this point. Some of them being involved with Star Wars. I
Yes.
think, like, was it the 1313 that she was working on, the Bounty Hunter game
She
that
was
got.
doing the open world one. They
Okay.
I can't remember what the name they gave it at the time, but she was working on the one where you play as like a bounty hunter or something like that.
Yeah.
And I think 1313, I don't think she was on that one, but I know she was on the open worldy one before it got scrapped, and then she was devastated because she said that they were building a really cool story around it. I think that might have been Ubisoft's one, but don't quote me on that.
Right. Yeah, I'm just Project Ragtag. This one was called third person action adventure video game set within the Star Wars universe and developed by Visceral Games. I feel like that's a different one from what you're speaking about. So I feel
Oh,
like
yeah.
there's actually quite a few that have just been that she's had her hands in, and they've just been cancelled. And what is this cancellation all about? Is she going to sticking true to her guns and like wanting to make a good game, but they don't realize it because it's like a solo experience that isn't exploitable? Or is she just kind of having really tough luck with getting a decent story together? I don't know.
I think it's the former, because I think if you look at the companies, I think Visceral were under EA, and we all know what EA are like when it comes to monetization stuff. And I think she's just been very unfortunate where they've sold, where she's sold a project. They've gone, yeah, sure, we'll green light that. And then as soon as she's presented that it's going to be a single player narrative driven, you know, what she, her bread and butter is good story and good narrative and single player focused. And I think then the publishers have probably seen like drafts or like a very, very prototype build of the game and been like, how can we monetize this? And she's been like, we're not. And then they've been like, cool, get out. So I think that's because I don't think there's any denying her ability and talent. And almost every interview where people mention her, it's only ever like stellar discussion. So I suspect it's much more the former problem as opposed to the latter.
Do we think we're marveled out when it comes to a game like this? Will this be sort of like a respite of the sort of saturation of Marvel? Would either of you check it out just from that trailer?
I am more intrigued for this game than I ever was for something like Marvel's Avengers or something like that. So, yeah.
Yeah,
Okay.
definitely. I would.
So, potential revival for Marvel games, thanks to Amy Hennig, who does stunning work. And that's it for news. So we had a couple of quick ones where we were going to potentially talk about Margot Robbie producing a Sims movie. That's about as much of the news there is. And if they don't do a whole film in the Sim language and just do it subtitled, then you're cowards. You need to do that. But for now, let's get on to recommendations. This is where we recommend something throughout the week that we enjoyed that wasn't necessarily a game, could be anything you like. But I feel like we might have one topic in particular that might just be a second game of the week for everyone. Pat, why don't you kick us off with your recommendation this week?
Mine is not a not a game recommendation, but it's a chained restaurant recommendation. If you have it nearby, or you should look it up.
God damn it, this is gonna be mine.
Tough titties. So this recommendation is a very kind of American chain called Hickory's. We recently went yesterday. It is like a smokehouse American. Like the chicken took me back instantly to Chick-fil-A. Like it is just so juicy, so good, so crispy. There's one in Chester, there's one in Derby, there's one in Winslow, there's one in Gresty Green, which is the one that's near us, which is in Crewe. So no matter where you are in the world, well, not in the world, but in England, you might have one near you. And oh my God, it's incredible. Miles had a brisket sub and he dipped it in gravy. Like, it's just incredible, guys. Like, just try and go if you can. Yeah, that's all I've got to say, really. They had sodas, they've got like banging looking cocktails. I had a corn dog. It was really, really good. I mean, if you're allergic to mustard, you know, you might have to have a bit of a plain Jane situation going on like me, but still absolutely slapped. Still slapped. Yeah. 10 out of 10.
Is
No notes.
there anything missing from that explanation of you, Miles, or is that pretty bang on to what you were thinking?
No, spot on. Like literally spot on. That dip in the gravy, oh my days. I've sensational.
There is that. Like it is a thing, isn't it? It's called like a, is it a beef drip or something like that? Beef dip
Yeah, beef
in America?
dripping, dripping, beef drip,
Yeah.
beef dip, dip, dipping, I
We're
don't know, but yeah, I
sorry,
don't know.
American listeners. Yeah, it's
Yeah.
from like
Well, you
Chicago,
know,
I
we've got a
think.
lot of you in America, but like, we just love the food, man, okay? This is the
Listen, it
best, this is
tastes
the
fucking
closest
amazing.
thing, yeah, closest thing that I've had since coming back from America.
Okay, Miles, seeing as your recommendation was stolen, have you got a quick second recommendation.
I do. It's not a very exciting one, but I'm a big fan. I've brought up kind of ambient soundtracks and lo-fi soundtracks before, as recommendations on the pod. And I have another one. I discovered there is a, hold on, I'm going to find the actual one just so I can get it right. There's a Dark Souls orchestral ambient music for focus and relaxation, it's called. It's on YouTube. And it's basically like an amalgamation of different kind of Dark Souls-y tracks turned into like this really cool, chill kind of ambient soundtrack. And it's wonderful to do work to, or to do notes to, or if you're studying or whatever. Really cool one. There's also a Terminator one, which is dope as well. So I've just been going through this rabbit hole of finding different ambient soundtracks to all my favorite franchises. So I thought I'd throw out the Dark Souls one because it's game related. So that's mine.
Sounds like you just want to Netflix and chill with all these IPs.
I do. Really, really do.
Spend
I just
a
can't
night with the
contain myself.
T-1000 or the Ashen one.
Oh, honestly, give me a good ambient soundtrack of Terminator. Oh.
French dip, by the way, is what I was trying to say.
Oh, French dip. That's the one.
The beef dip
Oh
sandwiches.
yeah, you're right.
Do you reckon there's an
Yeah.
ambient soundtrack for that as well?
Yeah, it's the sound of the squelching when you dip it
Oh. Fuck, it's
in.
ruined it. Never mind. Scrap my recommendation. I'm done.
So I was very presumptuous that everyone might have a game because I feel like that's all we've done this week is play video games, and my recommendation is going to be a video game.
Do
Came
it.
out on PlayStation 5 after being on Xbox exclusively, and that is Hi-Fi Rush. Woo! Applause, everyone. Woo! Hi-Fi Rush. Yeah, I've not got too far on Hi-Fi Rush, purely and simply because other things have turned up for work reasons. But yeah, I echo pretty much everyone's sentiment because everyone loves it and everyone appreciates this whole sort of being. I was about to say something really bad, but I won't say it. Being up people to the beat. And it's awesome. It's like a Saturday morning cartoon of a game, action adventure. Go through levels. There's this guy called Chai, and he gets a mechanical arm, and you just fight robots and have great soundtrack. And it's by Tango Gameworks. I think that's their name. Tango Gameworks. Let me fact check myself. Yeah, Tango Gameworks, who I know from The Evil Within. And there is a couple of Evil Within shout outs in within the game, so I love that. Let's do an Evil Within 3, please. Yeah, that's my recommendation. Buy games from Xbox on PlayStation to let them know that exclusivity is dumb. I know that we're a little bit snooty because we are PlayStation players and we do get the cream of the crop when it comes to exclusive games, but I would love to have this movement continue forward. So if you like the look of any of the Xbox exclusive games, recommend buying them so they get the message that we should, let down our fences and just play as one, because I would love more Xbox games on PlayStation. Forza, Halo, why not? Gears of War, yes please. But yeah, for now, check out Hi-Fi Rush because it's a really good time. And that's it for this week's episode. Thank you all very much for listening. As always, you can follow us pretty much everywhere. Just go to the link tree in the description below. If you'd like to follow us on Twitter, you can at FNGRGNS, and we're also there individually too, except from Miles, because he's smart and not on Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it. Also, we're loving the 5-star ratings we're getting on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. It helps with our algorithm to get us seen by more people. So if you've le not let us, if you've not left us a review, now is the time to do so. 5 stars if you love us, 5 stars if you hate us, why not? If you really like what we do, though, you can follow our Patreon for just $1 a month. You can keep this podcast live on its various hosting services, and it also keeps the website nice and shiny. But before we head out, it's a goodbye from Miles.
Farewell.
It's goodbye from Kat.
See you later.
And it's goodbye from me, your lovely host, Josh, now and forever. We'll see you next time on the Finger Guns Podcast.